Hello, thanks for listening. It's another episode of Sacktown Talks by the Nooner. What a week, where we break down the top political headlines in a conversational news roundup with Scott Lay, and I'm Jabron Maciel. Do you have a subject you'd like our take on? Reach out and let us know. We're more than happy to tackle the issues that are important to you. ScottLay@gmail.com or Jabron@sacktowntalks.com. You also know where to find us on Twitter. Thanks again for listening. If you're enjoying the podcast, please rate us 5 stars on iTunes and share us with a friend. Okay, let's get started.
Yeah, I'm going to take my horse to the old town road. I'm going to ride till I can't no more. I'm going to take my horse to the old town road. I'm going to ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back. Horse stock is attached. Daddy's matted black. Got the bushes black to match.
Boom, motherfuckers. It's another episode of Sacktown Talks by the Nooner.
I guess we...
Oh, no. Take it easy here. Oh, man.
I guess we're using the explicit tag in iTunes this week.
Yes, yeah. We are. We always have been.
That's good.
Yeah, it's another week with Scott Goldilocks Lay. I'm the sensei of sex appeal, Jabron Maciel. Are you aware of the controversy surrounding Lil Nas X? And the song Country Road?
No.
Old Town Road?
No.
I thought that this was appropriate with everything going on downtown, like we're about to get into. Pride Parade. The cosplay freaks are doing their thing. You know, some of them are actually in this hotel here.
Yeah, I followed some as they were going in to the hotel.
Yeah. Lil Nas X is no surprise an African-American gentleman. And he is... actually, give me 1 second here. Here we go. Okay, we're back. He is a self-styled country singer. Hmm. And that's actually Billy Ray Cyrus's voice in the mix there as well. Yeah. And traditional country fans... Because it's got like a hip-hop beat to it.
Right.
But like a country twang to it.
Yeah.
And so it's like... And this guy's from like inner city Philly or something like that. And like old school country fans are like, that's not country. You have a hip hop beat under it. It's about taking your horse to a road and riding until you can't ride into the old country road and riding until you can't ride no more. But like old school, there's like this big problem in the country music community right now. They're like, that's not country. And then the rest of the Twitterverse is like, you're really just mad that he's black,
right?
You know,
we accepted Hootie, but we're drawing the line at Hootie.
Yeah, well, no, and then the other thing too is like Florida Georgia Line has been taking these like hip hop beats and just putting like crunchy twang over them for years now, like for a decade, you know. And they're like the most popular country band of like the last, you know, of like the last decade. And it's okay when they do it because they're like four white guys. Yeah. But when Lil Nas X wants to come in and play, it's like a problem. No, it's not genuine. It's like not genuine country. And he got picked. This is the song of the year. Is old Country Road. He got picked up by Wrangler Jeans. And a bunch of folks were like, oh, no, this is, you know, like Wrangler isn't true to us, like boycott Wrangler. And that's when people really started saying, like, you know, you're really just upset that he's black.
Yeah.
You know, you're really just upset that he's black. And I thought that this was like kind of like
people were upset that Dr. John was white.
Yeah.
we just lost Dr. John and, you know, and it was like, wait, you're a blues singer in New Orleans?
Yeah, you know, it's so weird because like again, this goes to like my overarching theory of politics. It's mostly about culture and not about policy. And so here in Sacramento in town, we have kind of these like different cultural remixes kind of coming into town. This week we have Pride Parade.
The Pride Parade.
It's not just the parade. It's a whole month now, right? It's a Pride month.
Well, it's a Pride month, and Sunday is a parade when we drop this pod. Tomorrow and Sunday is a festival on Capitol Mall. Several blocks will be shut down. It's a big event.
Yeah.
So we have that. And then we have the Sac Anime Festival, which is a mix of people that like to dress up
freaks
in
and
funky
geeks, man.
Costumes.
Freaks and geeks, wizards and lizards.
So you have the cosplay folks, and you also have the anime and manga folks. I don't know much about this. I know that there's some really strange stuff going on out in the street. We also have graduations.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting having my green tea over at Chicory, and I'm seeing gowns of all kinds representing all of the different groups that we welcome to town. And then there was some big naval thing going on at the state capitol. So you had like perfectly pressed suits walking along these funky dresses and bright colored wigs.
Oh, my
and goodness. Some weren't dresses. They were more
awesome than others.
Not really. Bikini. Well, I'm not a big person on bikini bottoms over fishnets.
Why not?
It's just not my thing. Right. I don't judge. Okay. I mean, I'm just saying when I'm drinking my green tea, you know, I just found it interesting.
Yeah, then, you know, I mean, what a uniquely American scene, right?
Oh, yeah. And then you have these a lot of young Asian, I want to say like high schoolers, maybe college, that are just big anime fans.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and the two just don't seem to mix, but you could tell because they're carrying these bright orange bags, so you know who's going to the anime.
Who's going to anime? Who's
right?
Who's
I mean, Pride is really going to kick off tomorrow. There's no events, to my knowledge, there are no events today, but there are people in town from out of town.
Yeah,
that everybody. Are walking around. So it's going to be wild.
Let the virtue signaling begin. you know what's fun? I wanted to comment on this, on the thing in Boston, the straight pride thing.
Yeah,
I feel like taken out of context, just the plain statement, "I'm proud to be straight," should be as acceptable as being proud to be LGBTQIA. The only problem with it is that it's being put on by bigoted people,
right? But and the actual, in a conflict the, sense,
in it, a like, com- yeah, it, and they're trying like to book it at the same time,
like
right?
They're booking
it, yeah. But the act, you know,
like you don't want the two groups to go at each other.
But you know what? You should be able to say, you know, I am proud to be straight. Fuck, you know.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean you can't be any less proud to be.
But June is all about the Stonewall riots 50 years.
That's
ago.
Stupid. That's stupid. Just like February is Black History Month. We gave them the shortest month. Okay. That's so stupid. No, that's so, you know, you should be proud year round. Everybody should, you know, like I think it's weird to be
Irish
like,
oh, get the longest month, March, yeah. or one of the longest.
Yeah, you know? No, you know, who was it? Not James Earl Jones, but Morgan Freeman had this thing about Black History Month. He's like, Black History Month is ridiculous. Black History is American history. Yeah, you gave us the shortest right. month. But you know,
they got more than Native Americans.
Yeah, though. Yeah. I mean, yeah, yeah. We're just trying to give them Columbus Day.
No, Thanksgiving.
Ouch. I mean, ouch. Yeah. No. You know. Yeah. The actual problem with straight pride is that they tried to book it at the same time, and there's people mm-hmm. that are trying to be there and like get in their face and stuff. I saw that there was a thing. There was a headline. I think it was either 6 months or a year ago. This thing went viral because someone had like scribbled into a school stall, or they put like a sticker on a bathroom stall in a school, mm-hmm. and it said simply, "It's okay to be white."
Yeah.
And people were like, "Oh my God, this is outrageous!" No, it is okay to be white.
But okay, so white pride is the OP Surfing Championship in Huntington Beach.
What? No.
Jeff Spicoli. Fast Times at Ridgemont High for the kids.
Yeah, you know, I just think it...
Parental guidance suggested.
You know, when 2016 came around, and Donald Trump sort of like breathed fire into the flames of tribalism, it just really dismayed me to like liberals who just don't like... You know, some people are so far behind they think they're ahead. You know,
yeah.
And liberals were like, "Where did all this tribalism come from?" Well, fuck, where did it come from? We have a month for your ethnic identity. We have a month for your sexual orientation. We have a month for your form of being, you know, quote unquote, a victim. That's where all the tribalism came from, behind all the deep like ethnic division that we have in this country. Like I just worry that these things. And also, no shade to the LGBTQIA community. I respect you. You deserve all the dignity in the world, and I'll probably be at some pride events. Just mm-hmm. cash, because it's a good party. So no shit, I'm not trying to put anybody down. I'm just saying, like, I think the whole thing, Black History, Pride, you know, Chicano, La Raza. Could you imagine a white group saying we're the race? Could you imagine? It's fucking crazy. Crazy.
They do in some states.
Yeah, and it's and we can all agree it's
my family's been here since 1650.
And we can all agree it's a very negative thing. It's a very negative thing. Yeah, right.
That's true.
You know, you don't fight racism by fueling racism. You don't fight tribalism by fueling tribalism. You know, I get it. Like, after Stonewall, it wasn't necessary for that community to stand up and riot for the rights. And that's a good thing.
It's been hugely successful.
And that's a good thing they did. You know what I mean? And fuck, Pride will be, it'll be a great month of, you know, bread and circuses. It'll be a great month of parties and celebration and people feel better for it. You know, I can't really put it down too much. I'm just saying, like, this whole sort of economy that we have, not just Pride, but like Pride, Black History Month, this whole economy of like where we go back and identify with our characteristics that we were born with, I think for me is just not a positive thing. You know, but I don't mean to put anybody down because I'll probably wind up at
yeah,
some
I'll
sort
be
of,
going to some things.
I'll probably
too.
Be going to some things too. But
so what
does
are
that
we?
Make it say, folks? No, don't write in and tell me I'm a fucking don't write in and tell me I'm
dig
not,
dig
you know,
dig.
You know,
what a week. They found a black bear walking through the UC Davis campus.
Oh yeah,
it's like that's no, right. They belong at Cal or UCLA, not at Davis. Davis is Gunrock, a Mustang. You know? But yeah, so they this bear walked through the arboretum, apparently probably from the Lake Berryessa area, and they didn't take it back up to Lake Berryessa because it would probably come right back down. They took it up to Colusa County.
Oh,
they,
shit.
They, I almost said euthanize it. No, that's what we do to horses. I'm sorry. You know, it's been a week.
The count is 27 horses now.
27. We're going to get to that.
27 horses.
But no, they sedated the bear and they showed the video of him like happily running out and saying, "Get me the hell away from these guys."
Yeah,
the four strangers.
Okay, here we go. What a week. Black bear on the UC Davis campus and the ladybug swarm in San Diego discernible on weather radar. That's crazy.
It was totally crazy. This is after we had the painted lady butterflies a couple of months ago in LA. These, you know, flocks of butterflies that they hadn't seen in a generation.
The weather's changing.
Yeah.
And animal sense of navigation is changing. Yeah. It's just my view on it. We just had a Granite Bay doctor get eaten by like a great white shark in Maui.
Yeah.
They're not usually over there.
Yeah.
They're not usually over there.
Well, I saw two videos this week, but I think both yesterday, of snakes eating large fish.
Yeah.
These like small snakes. We're not talking like boa constrictors. These relatively small snakes that are like going after large fish.
Yeah.
Chomp, chomp, chomp. One was at a seafood restaurant in North Carolina.
You know what's scary about You know what's scary about bears? Is they don't kill you and then eat you. They just start eating you.
No.
Yeah. Okay, 2009.
And they're fast.
Oh, yeah.
People need to watch that video.
They're just big
like
dogs.
This thing just ran. It was like, you're never going to outrun a black bear.
No.
Now, they're scared of humans, generally speaking. You just don't want to be around their cubs.
Yeah.
But don't think you're going to be able to easily run away after going up and trying to pet the cubs.
No. If you're hiking where bears are, bring a gun. Mm. I'm not going to lose my life to a bear.
Put your food in bear lockers and all that good stuff.
Bring a gun, shoot in the
head. So we're going to talk a little bit about the state budget.
2019-2020 state budget conference committee closing out on
the You're really not supposed to read the whole damn thing because that's for the rest of the pod.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So the blue is what we read and then we come back. Otherwise, it's like, well, yeah, we already talked about
this. Is your first time doing two different colors, Scott.
No, I did it. I did it twice before.
Have you really?
I have done it twice before.
Well,
and
see,
I put it at the top. I put like blue is what we say in the rundown.
Well, I do pride myself on being colorblind.
Well, there you go.
New PPIC.
You're saying that from to get yourself out of the the earlier.
You know, there's another problem there too. Like, there's another issue going on too. And this is why I think like the whole thing of intersectionality like breaks down when you like the Louis Farrakhan thing like wound up fucking up the Women's March. Mm-hmm. Intersectionality breaks down because you can, like you have to hold true to like your actual values and you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Not to say that there isn't respect for everybody, but like, I'll just leave it at that. There was like a movement forever to add like a brown and a black stripe to the pride flag to be inclusive of like LGBTQ people of color. And wow, for the most part, though, like the white cisgendered community has just been like, nah, fuck that.
But then, like, and then the police did that with the American flag. They have the blue.
Oh, the blue stripes.
Yeah,
but the thing about that is that it doesn't represent like an ethnic affiliation. It doesn't represent.
It's an us them though.
Yeah, it's an us them. Yeah. But I think like what's interesting about the move to add like a black and a brown stripe on the pride flag, which they should do. which they should do if they really are about inclusion. You know, I mean, who has it worse than people of color who are LGBTQIA?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're, like, white LGBTQIA can be, like, rather, like, glamorous and chic and posh, you know, if you have the money to, like, live a nice lifestyle. But, man, like the intersection of being, like a person of color and LGBT, it's not nearly as awesome. You know what I mean?
Black Lives Matter Sacramento has threatened a protest at the Pride March on Sunday.
Oh, really?
Because the Pride March allowing the gay and lesbian police to march in their uniform.
This is what I'm talking about.
This has been denied before.
This is what I'm talking about. Intersectionality breaks down.
So the LGBT Community Center, which is a 501c3 here in town, they run the whole Pride thing.
Yeah.
The executive director basically signed off on, okay, we're going to let that. We negotiated with the Sacramento Police Department, and we've agreed that their officers are going to be able to march. So now Black Lives Matter is going after the Pride Parade, and now there's dissension on the board of the LGBT Center, who now are calling for the removal
of the officers.
No. And the same thing just happened in Black Lives Matter Sacramento, where they've now split into two different organizations.
Oh, the whole Tanya Faison abusive thing.
I mean,
yeah.
So, yeah, it does get, I mean, people get so emotional, and it...
Well, the problem...
There's no right answers many times for the leaders.
Well, the right answers is to do what you think is right, and just hold on to your guts and, you know, and take a stand. But the wrong answer is to flip flop and look like you have no actual convictions, like Joe Biden just did. But yeah, you know,
I love to, on Twitter, it was that Alyssa Milano talked him into flip flopping. I'm like, if Alyssa Milano asked me to jump off the top of this building, I would do it.
Yeah.
You know, because it was Winnie Cooper on, what was the Wonder Years, and Alyssa Milano on what's the show with Tony Danza where he was the single parent?
She
was the girl on that show, Alex, or so. She had guy's name.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't tell you what the show. I know
who's the boss.
Who's the boss? That's right. Okay, here we go.
We're going to talk about Trump tariffs
on Mexico scheduled for Monday. That's going to have a huge impact on the San Diego region. Special election results. Brian Daly, Lena Gonzalez. Sorry. Senate District 1 and 33, Los Angeles Unified Measure EE soundly defeated, of course, because it was bullshit to begin with. Cannabis and Apple. Oakland decriminalizes magic mushrooms. People joining Denver. Peyote. And peyote? Holy shit.
Peyote. And there was another couple that were plant-derived drugs.
I'm still waiting for them to figure out the therapeutic value of whippets.
Well, there's legislation right now on
whippets. To decriminalize whippets?
No, to make it very difficult to sell.
Ah, dude, I'm going to need to stock up, man. I'm going to need to stock up. I'm going to need another canister over here, guys.
You have to go to Fry's Electronics and just get the dusters.
If that passes. When I was
issue.
No, but if that passes, I'm going to crack one right on camera here before the legislation passes, okay?
Okay.
Hey, you're only high for like 30 seconds. I was like 15 the last time I did a whippet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck. You know what's funny?
We thought
we would hide it. And then Ross's mom was like doing his laundry, and she's like, "What are these 100 canisters of CO2 doing in the bottom of your clothes, Everett?" She was like, "You little motherfuckers were huffing whippets, were you?" I was like, "I know you weren't baking a cake."
Then we're going to return to the Juul Labs topic, and we've got several under Juul Labs with what's gone on this week.
Now 27, judge finds Sacramento Sheriff violated Public Records Act, orders release of deputy records.
We couldn't see that coming.
Yeah, he probably still won't release them.
And we've got 27 horse deaths, as we've already mentioned, but we'll talk about that. And then just a little, for those here in town, bit of restaurant news.
Hey, this is, you know what? What's cool is Kenny Armstrong, that email that I sent you, he's listening from L.A. because he's a campaign staffer and he wants to kind of beef up. He came in through the Nooner. But, you know, for folks across the state that are listening, come check us out. Come spend a week in Sacramento. It's a fabulous town. You can take a day, go to Napa. You can take a day, go to the city. You can take another day, go to the Tahoe. It's a phenomenal fucking... You know, I think the thing with Sacramento is there's not one big, like, St. Louis. There's not, like, Disneyland here or something to come visit. But holy shit, man, what a fucking region. It's just such a cool region, you know? And yeah, so it's good that we're gonna highlight the Michelin visit. Let's go back to this thing with the cops and the Black Lives Matter and the Pride Parade. And this goes, I think, again to my view on intersectionality. It's like, you know, and this is like these same people, the same liberal intelligentsia, was in 2016 wondering where tribalism came from, like right under your nose. Right under your nose, you know, and it's frankly crazy to me for Black Lives Matter to be, you know, painting all uniformed police officers with the same broad brush of like, no, they're bad, they can't participate.
It goes back to the images of New York police using their batons.
That was 60 years ago.
Gay men.
That was 60 years ago. Isn't it good that now they're trying to lift up and support the community?
It is.
Isn't that a positive thing?
But the community was saying, my understanding, and I know a few people, but not active, not leadership. Their issue was the uniforms. They were happy to have officers, you know, LGBTQ and supporters march along in the parade, but they kind of stand out as being the only people wearing uniforms. Everybody else is wearing just fantastic, fabulous clothing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
I marched with Mark Leno in the San Francisco one right after the Supreme Court ruled in the marriage cases.
You know, I wasn't there at Stonewall, so I don't know the feelings that linger from that, but I think I have a handle on it. I see it more like, wow, this social contingent that was once against us has now done a 180 and is doing their very best to try and support us. You know, and at some point you have to you have to make amends. They've attempted to rehabilitate themselves, you know, They're trying to build bridges, not walls. Why not let them in? You know,
and that was a debate within the LGBTQ community with the LGBT center in Sacramento. It was a debate.
All cops are not bad because of something that happened 60 years ago. That's fucking crazy.
Or what happened last year.
They should welcome the cops. Like, come on in. Isn't this whole thing about inclusion? Isn't this whole thing about inclusion and acceptance?
Yeah.
So why can't we include and accept people except for the profession that they've chosen to swear and uphold the law?
Well, and if you look back at the political fights, the Briggs Initiative in California, where State Senator Briggs tried to ban gay lesbian teachers, we wouldn't, you know, the gay and lesbian, the LGBTQ community would fight like hell if there was a ballot measure that would prohibit gay officers.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, and what are you doing to the gay officers? Way to make your gay officers or LGBTQ or whatever.
They're the stars of the march. That's what the media is going to cover.
Yeah.
And they probably don't want that.
They probably don't want that. Yeah.
They're happy to march in their uniforms, you know, and to show that.
Way to put people on the spot. You know what I mean? Way to put people on the spot. It's like, what? Just let the, so let me get this all, let me get this, no pun intended, straight. All cops are bad because of something that happened 60 years ago. Get the fuck out of here. Get out of here. What a way to... Honestly, and here's the thing. Black Lives Matter... Now, I'm going to put on my tinfoil conspiracy theory hat, but a lot of these like social justice institutions thrive off of conflict. So what a way to keep conflict alive is by keeping the contingent separate. I don't like it. Let them in.
50 years ago, I didn't want to call you out until I validated it on the, you know, the number one source, Wikipedia. Okay. So maybe they're wrong. Okay.
So, what else?
So the budget, we don't have much to say on the budget. It just came through this afternoon.
What was the
conference committee is going to be meeting on Sunday at 3:00.
Who tweeted "Mo money, mo problems"?
I didn't. I don't remember that.
Because there's a big surplus. The economy is doing good.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they're having issues with the talks this year. Probably because it's the first one of the new administration, right? So there's
But it's always harder when there's more money. You know, I was part of some of those heartbreaking budgets where we were cutting, and people got along because we're trying to find the best policy solutions. Right now, the fight is over big policy additions. So, you know, the issue of whether or not to extend health coverage under Covered California to
undocumented
low income undocumented individuals,
like
19 to 25,
yeah,
and seniors, which is what the state senate wants to do, or only to 1925, which is what the 19 to 25, which is what the governor
wants, yeah,
and the assembly has signed off on.
Gotcha.
Then you've got the water fight, you know, the water tax, or use general fund revenue, and there's a feeling that a lot of people in social services who care deeply about these farming communities that have a water you can't shower in. And, you know, they're so these liberal folks are like, well, we're not sure we want to open it up to the general fund because we don't know if it's only $150 million a year or if it's something much more. And once the state starts addressing the issues, then you're opening yourself up to legal liability, which could have a federal judge saying, no, you have to do the full extent, which could be in the billions.
Yeah, well, if you're going to need to raise a billy, you're going to have to do a water tax. You're not going to be able to pull that out of the general fund.
But the water agencies are...
Oh, yeah.
Well, vehemently against it.
Well, the water agencies...
The wealthier water agencies.
Yeah. Well, the water agencies are running essentially like... are operating as if they were private businesses with a public resource.
And many are private.
Yeah.
Both public and private.
Yeah, but I know, but they buy public water... Right. And then they privatize it and they sell it back to us. You know, they just shouldn't even be like, they shouldn't even be in the conversation. Honestly, like they're not there to evaluate what's best for California. They're there to evaluate what's best for them. Honestly,
on a similar vein, the PG&E executives and board members had to go visit the Camp Fire, which was the largest and, or I'm sorry, the most, the deadliest and most damaging fire
in
Butte County.
When I, yeah.
Even though PG&E had, they found that PG&E was not responsible for that fire, as opposed to previous ones. But that the federal judge just said, we're going to go make you go look at Paradise.
When I was a kid, we had this dog, Sparky.
Oh, good. Yes. Talking about fires, okay.
That was literally the name of the dog.
Did he have a hammer?
That was no, he no, didn't have was... a no, but it was Sparky. He probably contributed to my parents' divorce because my mom didn't want a dog because she was like, I'm going to wind up taking care of this fucking thing because the kids are too young. Mm-hmm. And my dad, I think without asking, just came home with Sparky one day. And what do you know? Like my dad, who's a runabout, Pops, I'm sorry for telling the story. brought Sparky home one day, and what do you know? My mom wound up doing all the. She wound up doing all the cleaning, right, after the dog. And then, but whenever we would leave the house, and we'd leave for entirely too long, and Sparky would like take a shit in the living room, and my dad would like come home and be all mad, and he'd like rub Sparky's nose in the fucking shit stain, yeah, to like try and make him learn, which of course isn't effective. You have to do it right at the moment,
and it makes the carpet worse.
Yeah, fucking my, yeah. This fucking brain surgeon. But that's what we should do with these PG&E executives, is every time there's a fire, we should go down and rub their fucking nose in the ash. Anyways, that was,
but they've actually been not responsible for, in the last 5 years, it is a minority of the overall fires have been directly caused by the utilities. Now, on Monday, after we record this, on Monday, there's going to be a special hearing to get the hear the report of Governor Newsom's task force, which is going to call for eliminating inverse condemnation, which we've talked about before. We'll talk about it again in the future, have some guests on to talk about it. But, you know, very controversial.
Yeah.
But, you know, this was just after literally a guy was trying to build a shade structure in Potter Valley in Mendocino County. And he was, as he's driving in, like he broke up a hornet's nest or wasp's nest underground. And so then he got a stake to try and fill in the hole. And the hammer hitting the concrete stake, I think, led to sparks.
And that was
it was in a high wind, arid situation.
I can't believe that they can, like, trace it back that precisely.
It's amazing.
I want to fucking, like, I want to have a fire scientist on and talk to us about how they do that. Because, like, that was a big fucking fire. How do you trace it back?
That was the largest fire in California history.
How do you trace it down to, back to, like, that one point in time? That one guy. That's incredible. That's incredible. Respect. Respect to you guys.
Okay, so state budget. There are a few issues that are being ironed out right now. But they're not very far apart. The deadline for the legislature to pass it is next Saturday. So the budget conference committee, a six-member committee, will approve a plan that's secret right now. We know generally, you know, what the major issues are. They'll approve it on Sunday. But now we have this 72-hour requirement where bills have to be in print for 72 hours. It was part one of the good government reforms when Arnold Schwarzenegger was governor. That means that if they approve it on Sunday, the language has to be drafted probably on Monday sometime.
Right.
So we may be talking about the budget approval actually happening on Friday or Saturday, keeping legislators in town. As you know, they don't like to be in town on Friday unless Monday's a holiday to keep their per diem money, their per diem payments
as high as possible
coming through, because the rule on per diem is you only get it if the legislature's not. It is out of session for 3 days. So when you have a Monday holiday, you meet on Friday.
Oh, got it.
Even though normally they don't meet on Friday. But it'll be an interesting week as we get the details on Sunday. I'm supposed to be seeing a movie at that time. And I don't think I've sat around waiting for a promised, a pre-announced time and, like, blown away dinners and all kinds of shit. When they actually come in, you know. No. So 3 o'clock could be 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'll probably be done with Dark Phoenix by the time. Now, from the critics, what the critics say, I may not want to see Dark Phoenix, but that's a whole nother story.
What the heck is Dark Phoenix?
It's X-Men.
Oh, you don't want to see any of that.
I like some of those. Movies. But, you know, I'm not a big X-Men. If I was, I would be over at the at the convention center right now hanging out with the cosplay and fans.
Yeah. Hey, folks, for those of you watching on YouTube, Scott made it known to me earlier that he's wearing the Capital Weekly cap. Shout out to Tim Foster. Because he's not yet cut his hair.
That's right.
He's not, dude, just let it go, man.
Yeah, I don't think
it's Scott Broccoli works. Top lay.
I got it. You know, there I like you go. That. I like broccoli. I'm like George Bush, you know? No, I need to get my butt over to Iverson's, little plug for the best barber in town. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah.
You know?
You should just let it go, dude. The tale of Samson. Maybe you'll grow, like, big and buff as your hair grows out.
Oh, yeah. He's trying to get me to work out.
The new PPIC poll on vaccinations and housing.
Well, the whole bunch of issues, you know, approval. I don't give a crap about approval ratings of the governor relative to Donald Trump, relative to the legislature.
You don't think that's relevant?
Trends are. But the trends haven't really changed much. The governor's doing just fine in approval rating. The legislature, and Congress always performs poorly. So, you know.
You don't think there's any lesson to be learned there?
No. Analytically, among likely voters, Donald Trump is getting most Republicans, vast majority of Republicans. Gavin has skeptics in the Democrats and liberals and independents because
he's got one right
they're
here.
Just not getting, but they're just not like saying, I'm ready to give a thumbs up to you. You've only been in office for a few months. And, you know, there's some things I like and some things I don't like. But my takeaways from this, the reason I have vaccinations and housing in the outline is that these are
two big policy issues.
They had a few more, but these were the two big ones. And the voters overwhelmingly, high 70%, support mandatory vaccinations. Only medical exemptions that are independently verified. So nobody denies that there are needs for medical exemptions. Somebody in a household, it may be themselves, maybe a sibling, that has Right? Well, no, anybody, I should back up. Anybody that has a compromised immune system, you have to be careful on vaccinations. Nobody denies that.
The fact that everyone else is vaccinated is what gives you room for the exemption.
But you shouldn't be able to go around. You shouldn't be able to shop around. Like you shouldn't have, when we had a medical requirement for marijuana, you shouldn't be able to go to doctors that have a whole profession of writing these exemptions.
That's the wrong analogy. You should have been able to do that for marijuana because the law was immoral to begin with.
Well, okay. But, you know, you get my point. But I've seen in email chains where it's like, okay, Dr. Feelgood is coming up to Chico. And anybody
he's got the exemption pad open.
$150 bucks, he'll sign off on exemption. And they were scheduling appointments.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so the voters are basically, overwhelmingly across groups say
this is fucking crazy. My sister has a newborn. My sister has like an infant girl. She started her family, and she's like, I'm scared of these fucking hippies. They're gonna kill my daughter.
Most people in the Capitol are scared too. Like whenever there's a hearing, they're like, they call in sick. It's like, I'm not gonna come in when all the anti-vaxxers are bringing their kids to parade before legislative committees.
There's got to be, like, I keep saying it, you know, the Sacramento County public health officers got to look at the, like, that's not a good situation. That's not a positive thing.
Yeah, no, I agree. We've talked about that before. Yeah. And on housing,
maybe voters, they can, like, teleconference them in or something. I don't know. I guess they want to take over the building and stuff, but
They want to be there, and they have the right to be there. But I agree. On two big issues related to housing, overwhelming voter support for the single family zoning density issue for areas near transit and job corridors. And
what the fuck is a job corridor?
Well,
with the changing nature of work and the changing nature, like, what is a job corridor?
405, 101.
That's a transit corridor.
Well, they're job corridors, too. I mean, 101, you've got Facebook. I mean, you've got, you know, when you have these, like, big concentrations of jobs. Anaheim, Disneyland.
Okay.
You know, Disneyland needs a lot of
people. Yeah.
People, and they're generally service hospitality workers, and there's not affordable housing around there.
Yeah,
so I think that's the concept. But the other interesting one was the voters said that yes, it's fair to tie local government approval of zoning to transportation dollars.
Of course,
and that's the one where, you know, the legislature went apeshit over Governor Newsom's proposal.
That's because the legislature is only interfaced with the grass tops of their little constituencies. They're not interfaced with actual people.
Right.
You know,
it's the people that testify at hearings, whether they be at the state legislature, whether they be at city councils. So, because city councils, even though Scott Wiener's from San Francisco, the San Francisco Board of Supervisors opposed, the mayor supported it, but the Board of Supervisors unanimously opposed. So did the Los Angeles City
Council. That's just lack of political courage. And I remember when I was a field rep, I'd have to go to like the Pacific Beach Town Council meetings, mm-hmm. and Pacific Beach, California, Pacific Beach, San Diego,
mm-hmm.
mostly like San Diego State kids, some families, some well established families, and the demographic of people that would really go to the town council meetings. You know, these town council meetings act as like the advisor group for the city council, and they'd have Tony's ears and whatever. And you were supposed to, like, the idea was that the town council was like the unified word of the little village, you know? But it was just the old people like the old cantankerous people showing up to those meetings, you know? And so the Pacific Beach Town Council was like this constant ongoing churn of like old people, like against like the bar owners who are like, you guys are over serving everybody, it's a mess, you know, people are leaving at 2 a.m. I'm trying to sleep, blah 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 blah. And like, if you were to like take the word of the Pacific Beach Town Council as representative of how people in Pacific Beach actually feel. You would think they all hate the bars. Mm-hmm. You would think that nobody works at the bars. You would think, you know what I mean? It's like, no, like, that's not how Pacific Beach actually feels. That's just who the people who showed up at this meeting right. feel.
And the leader, you
know? And it's the same thing going on at a broader level.
Yeah, the leader on the Los Angeles City Council, to get the council to oppose SB 50, is Paul Koretz, the former assembly member who now is a council member representing the West Side. I mean, he's got the wealthy corridors, and you know, there are a lot of jobs in those corridors. But and it's funny, if you know LA, you'll have like a big building and then zones right across from it that are these old single family home zones.
Yeah.
And you know, and he actually said the other day, I'm pretty sure it was Paul Koretz, I hate to put words in his mouth, was, you know, people from LA dream of having a big backyard and a front lawn.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We have people sleeping on the streets of LA now.
Yeah.
And we have people working around those single family homes. And I grew up in one in Orange County. And, you know, it now seems a little bit ridiculous, you know, because we have people that have to work as retail clerks, that work in the bars that you mentioned, that work as auto mechanics. And they can't afford to live anywhere near where the jobs are.
No, and also that's how you cook the planet. That's how you melt the planet. Is you put everyone 2 hours away from where they work, so they have to get in their car.
Yeah.
You know, way to cook the fucking planet, you know, you fucking stupid, like, these guys that lack the political courage to make tough decisions. It's like, what, like, you just sought out elected office to hold down a seat and to aggrandize yourself. But if you're not meaningfully responding to the largest social challenge of our time because you're scared, you know, it's like, what are you doing? You know, I'll leave it at that. I don't have the energy to go on a crazy.
So on Monday, right, the tariffs proposed by President Trump for Mexico's insufficient.
This I'm passionate about.
Well, it looks like it's not going to happen, but right now.
Hey, no, wait. You know what? Let me go back to this PPIC poll. I guess I do have one in me. Why doesn't Scott Wiener use the threat of a ballot measure to get it out of a probes?
He would need some big donors that would come forward.
You don't think he can get there?
I don't. Not to equal the money, because look at who. So he would get the California Apartment Association. The realtors are huge, though. Realtors, hey, like single family housing,
of course. Yeah, of course.
So I think that's his calculation, is that it would be so ugly. I mean, maybe Michael Weinstein from the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, who just created a new ballot measure and the apartment association. Yeah, but you need. I mean, it would be a $10 to $20 million at least. Remember how much was spent on rent control.
Yeah,
and now Michael Weinstein and AIDS Healthcare Foundation are going forward on another rent control.
You don't think proposal. He can put together a constituency of dollars for this thing?
I don't know.
Or he doesn't want to because he's like a good government guy and wouldn't do that.
No, I don't think that. He's passionate on this issue.
Yeah,
he should go. We've seen that.
So what is it? I'm curious to know. I would imagine. I would hope that some of the environmental. Oh, they don't have any fucking money, but the environmental groups should be just as passionate about this,
right?
Because you know, from a global warming perspective, you have to get people closer to where they work.
Or Mark Zuckerberg, you know, the Chan Zuckerberg Foundation is one of the largest donors to the split roll property tax measure.
Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting one because
Mark Zuckerberg, who bought up all the private property around his house so that he didn't have to have neighbors, who's now lecturing us about walls. Well, that guy,
and why does split roll okay with him? It's because Facebook has a brand new building in Redwood City, and so split roll wouldn't really affect them as much, because they're already at a high assessed valuation because it's new construction.
Yeah.
So and a lot of the tech industry is
They also have enough money to just be immune from the consequences.
Yeah. And they do. I mean, they're doing a lot of good social justice work. So I don't want to diss him completely, but I don't think he would come on board to get rid of, you know, to promote SB 50. Yeah. And I don't know many, you know, $100 million plus people that would pony up.
Yeah, I think that the the senators who were either complicit or active in killing this thing thought that they could just duck and cover for a couple years and it'll go away. And it turns out that, you know, like, these folks are fiddling while Rome burns.
Right.
You know, the folks who think that they can do state-sanctioned affordable housing projects to get us out of this mess, we're short 3 million units. Mm-hmm. When there's, like, one affordable housing project, like, you know, there's one, there's 200 units. It's like right. a drop in the fucking bucket. The only way you're going to unfuck this issue is by addressing the economics. It's by unfucking zoning. It's by unfucking community review guidelines. You know, it's by unfucking CEQA. You can't affordable housing, in quotation marks, you know, projects that make everybody rich at your way out of this. You have to address the underlying economic issues. And SB 50 is the only bill that I've seen in a long time that actually does that. You know, I don't know. We should, Scott Wiener, come on the pod. Talk to us about this.
Okay, so back on tariffs. So
back on tariffs.
On Monday, the tariffs on Mexican products being imported to the United States are supposed to increase to 5% or start at 5%. And largely an increase, but then it would increase each week until October to 25%. And some analysis, and it's mostly coming from the political sector, I haven't seen official economic analysis, but it is that 50,000 jobs would be lost in California.
You know, when they do those, I think they're just making those numbers up.
We sat down with Kevin Faulkner, and we're talking about this issue.
The fuck does he know?
He knows because San Diego...
No, he's the number one guy reading reports. These reports are made up. All those reports are made up. That's all fake news.
It's much worse than 50,000.
Like those reports I told you that, like, the same people that do the reports that say, oh, the arena's going to come in and revitalize. It's going to create 1 million new jobs. It's going to create 10,000 new jobs and revitalize downtown. Those are all fucking lies. Those are all fucking lies. No one actually knows what the consequences are going to be. The people that put together those reports are just fucking liars. They're all lies. They don't actually know.
So the interesting thing is, this was a big threat to California.
And those firms have political alignments where it's like, how do you want me to write the report? Like, if you're liberal and you want me to write the report in this way, you go to that firm.
It's like CEQA.
Yeah, if you're conservative and you want me to write the report the other way, you go to the other firm. Yeah. That's fuck. And for the media to be parroting those lines as if it were true, is so crazy to me. Okay.
Anyway, so the deal appears to be, this was this morning, that the Trump administration's been negotiating with Mexico for Mexico to accept higher ag imports from the United States. Those would be largely Midwestern, which are the same folks that got fucked with the Chinese tariffs.
Yeah.
They're not going to be a bunch of fruit. They're not going to be avocados from California.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what?
And those are the people he needs to get reelected.
Exactly. Yeah. He can't get California.
He's not going to get California.
But, you know, somebody on late night, I think last night, made the point that the four biggest imports from Mexico to the United States are beer, tequila, avocado and limes, I think. It's like, and maybe Colbert. It's like, that's summer.
No, they're gonna, they're gonna fuck up the price of my little cherry tomatoes that I like.
Oh.
Yeah.
California. Dude, cherry tomatoes.
I eat those like, if you look at the ones you get in Costco, it says product of Mexico.
Yeah.
I eat those like fruit.
Well, because it's not season, you're not eating in the season.
Whatever. Don't give me that. Don't give me that bullshit.
Yeah, stuff. Don't get, I know.
So, what are you eating now?
What
are you eating now? What's the season to be eating now?
Oh, wonderful food. A lot of berries, kale. I always have fresh lettuce mix. I'm waiting. The stone fruits are starting to come in, so we have nectarines now, and we'll have peaches shortly. And tomatoes are showing up that are local tomatoes. They're not great, but neither are Mexican tomatoes.
I like the little cherry ones from Costco.
Grape tomatoes. Are they shaped like grapes?
They're like this big.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and that's fair. I mean, I'm not saying
they're shaped like grapes.
Grape tomatoes. I don't always eat seasonally, but, you know.
It's a lot to keep track of, Scott.
Oh, not if you shop at Farmer's Market.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a choice.
That's fair. Okay, so my thing on this is a couple things. You know what Trump is doing, do you want to go first? You go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You know what I think Trump is doing, like, that's really genius politics on this whole thing? he knows that the farmers, China is strategically targeting their tariffs on the places that Trump needs to win re-election. And a lot of the farmers are getting fucked.
Right.
And
so soybeans.
Yeah, soybeans, yeah. And one thing that he's doing that I think is like really brilliant is that he's turning it into an us versus them type of thing. Mm-hmm. And he's actually really, like, his people are really pushing this idea of a trade war. Because what do wars do? They unify people.
Yeah.
And he's always saying, like, our farmers are great people. They're hurting right now, but they understand it's for the greater good. And his fucking people, you know, and to vote for Trump, you got to be pretty stupid anyways. They're like, yeah, fuck yeah, 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 cut my pay, take my money, yeah, I'm with America. But that works. That psychology works, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's just, anytime you say trade war, that's good. That unifies his base. Anytime you say, like, his guys that are, his constituency that he, you know, basically swore to protect is getting fucked by this. And he's just, you know, guys, we know you're sacrificing for your country. There's going to be, and actually that's not too crazy of a thought. It's like there's going to be a realignment that's going to be in our favor.
The average household cost of tariffs is $900 a year, which is
That's also a lie. That's also just bullshit made. That's all made up. All that stuff is made up.
That actually is pretty easy economically to determine, as opposed to how many jobs are lost. But
I don't believe
that's more than the average tax cut that people got.
Oh no, the tax cut was for the wealthy. Anyway. That was all for the wealthy. No, but what he's really unifying the people that are getting fucked by this the most, by saying you're doing a service for your country. There's going to be a new realignment. It'll be overall beneficial for us, but some pain until we get there. That's not a crazy theory, actually. I feel like a lot of people would be like, no, this is actually going to be good. And they'd have like fake studies of their own and be like, oh, these people are, you know. No, like he's actually being really honest about it. It's like, there's going to be a new realignment. It's going to be tough until we get there, but overall it'll be good for you. And in so doing, he's like activating the psychology of the people that he needs the most to say, you know, stick with me. This is like, we're in a state of war. Unify behind me. We're going to make it. That's a really powerful Herbert Hoover psychology. Hey, it works, man. It works. Like,
it didn't work for Herbert Hoover. He got a damn out of it. That's all. You know, institution at Stanford University.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, let's move on to special elections, because we did have two state Senate special elections this week. One in the northeast of California, from just east of Sacramento all the way up to the Oregon border. And that was won pretty easily by Assemblymember Brian Dolley, who actually faced off against a fellow Assembly Republican, Kevin Kiley. Dolley represented more of the, you know, he's from the north, and Kylie's from the south in Roseville, and the district overall is much more rural, and I don't even want to say suburban, because that's suburban is the southern part of it, but once you get north of Roseville, Lincoln.
Oh, there's nothing up there.
It's all.
There's nothing up there.
Well, there are a lot of farmers.
No, yeah.
And when I went natural resources people.
When I went to Chico State, we had this, I think it's Butte Hall in Chico State, mm-hmm. where the political science department was housed. It's a 10-story building. And I'm like, shit. Because it was like a culture shock for me to go from like urban to rural so mm-hmm. quickly. And then somebody says like, oh yeah, Butte Hall, that's the tallest building from here to Oregon. Yeah. I was like, fuck. It's literally just a 10-story admin building. There's nothing up there. No, it's flyover country. Not to say it's not beautiful.
We're going to get him on, and we're actually going to have on in the next few weeks, we're pretty sure, the assembly member from up, kind of up in that area, more from Yuba City, so a little bit more in the
James
center.
Gallagher.
James Gallagher, a UC Davis Law alum, and I think a former assembly fellow, too. So we'll have an interesting conversation.
And he's leading the charge on trying to get that that professor at UC Davis fired.
Oh, yeah.
You know who just committed to coming back on?
Who?
Linda Katehi.
Oh, great.
She said she's writing a book about women in STEM.
Well, she's certainly a smart one on that.
Yeah. You know, and actually...
but she's...
Go back and listen.
Very polarizing figure at Davis.
Well, she got fucked. Go back and listen to the talk that I did with her. For folks listening, she got fucked. She got fucked, like, big time. But anyways, put that aside. She was also...
The whole Occupy thing came after she did what a lot of university chancellors are doing right now, which is pushing the sciences and the feeling of abandonment of liberal arts, and that's what that was about. The Occupy folks were, they turned, the kids are the ones that stayed out all night, in tents, but they were being pushed by like the grad students in like political science. And you know, I believe in a balance in university, but you can also understand why a chancellor would push for that, because that's a connection to industry. The industry of government is not giving UC Davis money fund government political science classes or history classes, but we sort of need it.
We do need it. She's if you can just kind of take off your virtue signaling hat that you're supposed to hate her and just look at what she's done. Look at the life she's lived. Folks, listen to the talk that the Sacktown Talks episode that I did with Linda Katechi. It's hard to come out of that talk and not have some sympathy for her, honestly.
I do.
But regardless, I think we can all get behind women and girls in STEM.
Yeah.
So she's writing a book about, I think, how to get more, you know, some ideas for getting more women and girls in STEM, her own personal journey. And I think that's going to be her new big initiative. When the book is done, I think sometime in Q4 she's going to come back on, and we'll talk a little bit about her book, and we can revisit the stuff too. Also, I feel like getting pepper sprayed is not that bad. People acted like that cop like shot that kid. He got pepper sprayed. Okay, you want to go to a big boy protest, and you got pepper sprayed. Okay, you know, you
did. It wasn't a big boy protest. They were sitting in a circle. I was there. I watched this shit happen. They were sitting and holding hands in a circle in the middle of the quad. So there is a difference.
They didn't get tased.
Folks marching in the street and threatening cars. Yeah. Pepper sprays it. Okay.
They didn't get tased. They didn't get beat. They didn't get shot. I don't know, man. Yeah, I don't know. You want to do a big boy protest? Big boy things happen. I don't think it's that bad. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's positive. But everyone's acting like it's a national tragedy. No, some kids got pepper sprayed. It's going to be, all of our.
But you remember all the memes about it? People were laughing.
That's how you know it's not that bad. If people are laughing, it wasn't that bad. Okay. All police candidate recruits have to get pepper sprayed. All armed forces recruits get pepper sprayed. It's not the end of the world. Okay. They were fucking told to disperse. They didn't disperse. What are you going to do? Okay. People acted like they were shot or something. Okay, I don't know. Maybe I am a little comfortable with casual violence.
We're gonna go back and look at some of those memes. Yeah,
those were fun memes.
They were fun. Yeah,
and we were allowed to laugh because it wasn't that bad.
Right.
It wasn't that bad.
Okay, you know anybody that laughed about Stephon Clark?
No, that's fucking bad.
Yeah,
that's fucking. Stephon. A bunch of white kids get pepper sprayed. It's a fucking national tragedy. I just don't think big of a deal.
Right. And it was all over the internet it took a month.
And Stephon Clark gets one news cycle. Stephon Clark gets one news cycle. If you want to sit in like an asshole and not disperse when the cops tell you to disperse and you get pepper sprayed, I'm not fucking crying for you. I guess that's all I'm saying. You know? And then I'll just stop there. But
we'll get back to it. So the
bunch of white privileged kids got pepper sprayed and to this day we're still up in arms. You know, bring those kids back here. Let's pepper spray them again, those little motherfuckers. I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God. So, in Senate District 33 in Long Beach.
Hey, was she the oily? Which one was she was the oily?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so she's a Long Beach City Council
member. She's coming in with $1 million
Expenditure, right, from the oil and gas industry, which has, obviously, the Port of Long Beach has huge amounts of oil and gas that comes in.
So for folks,
and then there's the Wilmington oil field is just north of that district, but it's all really close together in that part of Los Angeles.
Yeah. So for folks listening, there's like this term that the Capitol folks will use for folks connected with like WISPA and the Petroleum Association, and like anybody connected to the petroleum industry as a lobbyist, they call those folks oilies, which I think is all. I feel like the term is kind of
used as the longtime trucking industry lobbyist who was affectionately referred to as Mother Trucker.
Yeah, I think the term is used as like a
water hogs.
Yeah,
there are a lot of these
as a pejorative, of course. Hey, so
I was a community college lobbyist.
What they call you?
Just a stupid kid. I don't
know. Hey, shout out to my student Logan Baller. Hey, let me put on my jujitsu hat. Not really a lot of jujitsu stuff because he's just my jujitsu student, but he just got his PhD in higher ed, and he's doing the. Okay, here's his tweet. Logan, shout out, co-presenting with Kate Jordal. on the topic of learning analytics, looking forward to seeing you all at this conference, the online teaching conference. And he's doing like, he's like one of the, he's either the keynote or he's like presenting on this topic here. But the whole thing is the online teaching, the California online virtual campus. It's like this big new initiative. Do you know about this?
Yeah, it's very controversial.
Is it?
Oh yeah, it's going to be called.
He tweeted at us. He says he wanted to hear our take on it. I don't know enough to intelligent.
Right, Cal. I want to stay away from it because I still have friends in the, I just have too many friends in the industry, and I don't. It's a state initiative that directly competes with local community colleges.
They're not businesses. They're not businesses. They're public institutions ran for the public good. So if it's going to produce better outcomes for the fucking people, it shouldn't be a fucking
problem.
There's
no evidence that there's going to be better outcomes.
Well, let's try something new. Let's try something new because the current tenure at a California community college is something like 6 fucking years. The current system's not working. So what's wrong with trying something new? Mm-hmm. Except that these fucking administrators don't care about the actual kids.
They do.
They care about their fucking.
There's been a lot of work
fucking,
on that.
They care about their public institution that they're running as a private business. Business for their fucking personal gain. That's my.
Anyway, how do you really feel?
Yeah, well, you know,
we hug it out. We hug it out after all this shit. But a point on we.
If so I get too crazy, you can mace me. All right.
Okay.
If I get too crazy, you can mace me, and I won't. I won't cry foul.
You get my water bottle, and I get your Coke.
Is that a fair criticism? Is that what other people are saying, or am I crazy?
There are aggressive debates on both sides, and the truth is in the middle.
Yeah,
I mean that's how
you really are a Buddhist, man. I need to start going. I need to start going to temple with you or something. Yeah. Chill out, dude. whenever I get like this, my baby's like my wife Haley. She's like, baby, your heart. She's like, maybe you need some more CBD. She's like, baby, your blood pressure. It can't be good for you.
Did you see? I don't think we've talked about this, but no. there's a show on Viceland cable channel.
Yeah,
and it's called Bon Appetit.
Yeah.
Did we talk about this?
Yeah.
So there's a cook. It just ended. It was a season long cooking competition where they based in Los Angeles, where they had to cook with cannabis, and like it was very serious. Like there's like, I mean, the judges are like smoking out and eating the tasting the food, and then the judges would be like, and how many milligrams is in this? And they had to like say, it's like, it's this is 5 milligrams. Now I what I understand is an adult serving's around 10 milligrams.
This is so
they're like adding all this shit up.
This one is a rocket ship to the moon.
Oh, man. Noteworthy on Lena Gonzalez in the Long Beach State,
that's
Tennessee,
what we're talking about.
Is that now 16 of the 29 members of the Latino caucus are women. And that is actually really significant because if you go back, it was the early Latino caucus was almost all men.
Yeah.
So, and 29 members of this is combined in the legislature.
Hey, shout out to the Latino caucus. It's disproportionately represented in the Me Too movement. Okay. A lot of representation matters.
And you don't want to fuck with some of them, as you know. Lorena, we got to get you back on.
Lorena, yeah, come back on. We miss you.
She's going to come back
on. You know what she said that was so right about the housing thing? She was like, you know, because she didn't come from local government. She came from her union background, you know. And so she doesn't have that same, like, web of, like, entanglements that someone who came up from local government does. So where, like, if you vote against the cities, it's, like, a problem with all your old colleagues. And, you know, I mean, she's really stepping into it and kind of looking at it from a bird's eye view.
Yeah.
And she was so, she's like, yeah, well, you know, we've been doing all these incentives. She says, we've been doing carrots for so long. Maybe it is time for a stick. Fuck, she's right. She's so right, you know. I got the perfect song for
it. But I think
too.
Even didn't Mayor Faulkner also was generally accepting of the tie to gas tax proposed by Gavin? He's like, we're kicking ass in San Diego.
Yeah.
Don't give our money to places that aren't doing anything.
Yeah.
Now that includes places like Encinitas, just north of San Diego, where the citizens put on a ballot measure that basically blocks the council from doing anything to change the single family dominance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, they're also, this is, you know, it's similar to Coronado.
Coronado.
Coronado. You know. It's, you know, it's like the one Republican city in, yeah, in the dense part of San Diego County, and they are so, they're anti-scooters, anti-bikes, anti-changing zoning.
The Coronado is like, fuck you, get off my lawn.
Right. And it was, you know, it was all developed by one entity, which then got, you know, sold off the individual parcels way back when Hotel Del was built.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then, you know, a fair thing that the Coronado folks say is, well, a large chunk of our island is taken up by the Navy.
That's true.
And it's true. And they're like, so you want to change that housing density bill and kick the Navy out of here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, they got to figure something out.
Yeah,
they got to figure something out. Well, yeah, you know, it's just weird for Coronado to be its own city too, because you would really think of that as more of like an exclusive community.
Yeah,
you know,
but it's Carmel. I mean, we've got several of those.
Yeah,
South Lake Tahoe or North Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, it should. You know, here's another thing. It's like, if you don't meet the element, then we're just going to take your cityhood away.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
So, also on June 4th, this last Tuesday, the Measure EE parcel tax measure for the Los Angeles Unified School District got its ass kicked.
Good. Good. They have enough money. Fuck them.
They don't have enough money on ongoing
basis.
All
California agencies have enough money. There's fucking huge waste, fraud, and abuse. Okay, there's lazy fucking teachers that you can't fire. Just up and down the gamut, like they have enough of our tax dollars. All of you, all of those fucking state agencies have enough of our tax dollars. Enough.
And I'm not that.
No, this is like the Measure U thing. This is right. Like the Measure U thing, but where they tell you they're going to use it for one thing, then they use it to pay for pensions.
And
make some tough choices, make some hard cuts.
LA Unified,
you get no more of my money.
Can be criticized as they already were completely underwater in their finances, and the teachers went on strike, and they agreed to
a richer
contract settlement.
This is what I'm talking about. Don't give those fucking thieves one more penny of your dollar.
And then they use a special
election. They have terrible financial decision-making skills.
They use a special election, and in the Los Angeles Unified School District, only one part of it had an election, another election on the ballot, and that was for it's a special election in Council District 12, which is the Northwest San Fernando Valley. Most conservative part of Los Angeles.
Yeah, these fucking leeches have terrible financial decision making abilities. They don't actually feel the cost of their decisions because it's not coming out of their own pocket. And
a lot's deferred.
And then a lot of it's deferred
long after they're retired.
And then at every possible turn, they give concessions to the unions, which they're going to rely on later to seek a broader public elected platform for themselves. So it's just this like systemic fleecing of the California taxpayer for the enrichment of a few elected officials and these unions, you know. And I can't blame the unions for gaming the system. Like unions should be seeking to extract. I mean, fuck, they're the only people actually looking out for workers. So I can't really blame them. But there's got to be some sort of balance here. Okay,
they were already
underwater. You just said it right there. They're already underwater, and they agreed to a more generous
and fucking compensation. And they didn't make the case.
They don't deserve one more fucking dollar.
They did not make a case to the voters, and they went in a low turnout special election, being cute, to try and right their finances quickly after the strike.
Yeah, and how much did they pay for the fucking campaign?
Well, the district, well, that's, as you know, that's the question is, the district can only provide objective information, and then you have individual fundraising. And there were some big donors to that. Yeah, there's
individual fundraising for the fucking schools. Cannabis and Apple.
Yeah, can we turn to pot?
And to chill out.
We've had some, like, serious topics here. So Evan Lowe, who's the assembly member from Campbell, which is in a very nice part of Silicon Valley, he sent a letter to Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, and he said, you know, it's now that cannabis is legal in California for anybody over the age of 21, why can't the cannabis companies, the legal state licensed cannabis companies, actually have a presence on the Apple App Store?
Why is he making, of all the social ills,
it's about delivery.
Of all the social ills,
I want a Grubhub for cannabis.
It's about, he wants campaign donations from his fucking people. Of all the social ills that he could tackle as in his platform as an assembly member, this is what he's fucking trying to do.
There is a complication on that. He's an openly gay assembly member. And
what the fuck does that have to do? What the fuck does that?
Because if you're an AIDS patient, you're not driving to a cannabis dispensary, and if you happen to live in one of these hoity-toity communities that refuse to license even one dispensary, then you need to go to a delivery service. And they're fighting.
That's cute.
And they're fighting the delivery services.
That's cute. You're trying to put like a social justice spin on the fact that
I believe it is.
I don't believe it is. I don't think that anyone is having actual difficulty getting cannabis in California.
Unless you're bedridden.
You have someone bring it to you.
I don't think it's always that simple.
I think the market for marijuana, it's so cute now. Now that the rich, white, affluent people are involved, it's cannabis. Before it was weed. Now it's cannabis.
Because it's not weed. Weed is something you put Roundup on. Don't pour Roundup on your marijuana.
You know, the market for marijuana was perfect, and the only thing we did to fuck it up was get the government involved, in my view.
Well, and there are problems because, you know, the illegal grows have increased, illegal sales have increased, and maybe we should have just decriminalized as Oakland just did with magic mushrooms, peyote, and some other plant-derived drugs.
I feel like this is about him getting money from someone, honestly.
I'll take a look. I haven't looked at his campaign finances. I'll look at it. But it was a fascinating thing of like, huh.
Yeah,
because I didn't know. Because Apple, if you read their terms and conditions on, being a part of the App Store,
yeah,
it's like it can't like encourage, significant alcohol abuse. So there's a lot of vague terms in there, and like these fine lines.
Yeah,
you know, you can have, tobaccos, I don't know exactly what's limited and what's not.
Yeah, they just don't want to get in bed with all this stuff. Apple.
Well, they would love to. They don't want the federal government coming down on them. Apple will take money from fucking anybody.
Really? There's not like brand considerations for them?
Nah, not really. I mean, Illinois is legalizing cannabis very soon. You know, enough states have legalized it that it's not a liability to Apple. I mean, the same thing would be said. It's like Apple did a lot of LGBTQ stuff. Mm. It's a liability in some places.
I think, like, overall in America, it's a much more of a positive than a liability now.
We're going to have to go on a road trip. We're going to Kentucky.
All the major brands, all the major Starbucks,
wait,
all
no,
the
beer that's brands. No, like, that's true.
Yeah, come on, don't give me that.
No, it's a huge.
Just because hate,
you're not defeating hate. What you're doing is you're enlarging your market.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like when there was the Coors boycott against the LGBT community, and they completely turned that around and became an LGBTQ friendly brand. So people were proud to drink Coors.
Yeah, you know what's funny to me is that like. People can get hoodwinked into thinking that these big corporations have actual values. And they don't.
No.
They don't, right? Corporations aren't people.
Unless
right?
you're Chick-fil-A.
Well, yeah, no, that's a privately held company. Held, yeah. But I'm saying, like, these big publicly traded companies right. don't have values.
No.
No. They just made a calculation of, like, if we position ourselves this way, it'll make more money for us.
Yeah.
But they don't have actual values.
Right.
Okay, here we go. Oakland's decriminalizes magic mushrooms and peyote.
Yeah. We'll just put that one out there. They're joining Denver in that.
This is the Joe Rogan influence, man. This is the Joe.
There you go.
Joe Rogan's always talking about, drop some mushrooms and kind of find yourself. Cool, man. Good for them.
We still don't know how much Juul Labs spent to sponsor the California Democratic Party convention. The party says they do not accept tobacco money.
So shouldn't they have to give 35% of it back?
Exactly. So,
okay, Juul, so we're calling, 35%. We're calling on the Democratic Party to give 35% of whatever the fuck Juul paid for to like the American 35% Lung Association.
Of X, right?
The American Lung Association.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there we go. What do you think? What's your ballpark on that? What do you think Juul paid? Just based on what you know from?
I have no idea.
You don't know what the underwriting sponsor pays in
it's
previous
so
years?
It's so complicated because the contributions aren't put as money, particularly for convention, a lot of it, it's reported generally that we haven't seen the report on Juul, but generally it's reported
for that.
And it's like, okay, CCPOA, the prison guards, the California Teachers Association, you know, they have a defined amount they're going to give over a 2-year session, you know, a couple hundred thousand. If you're the electrical workers and you're facing liability threats of wildfire, then it's $1 million. But, you know, so then the party might just say, okay, we're throwing this in as part of your ongoing contribution. So
so how do you get a number out of this?
We'll just have to see whatever is reported on the Secretary of State's documents. Now, because there was a June 4th election, we should have seen a report. And there was something in the Bee today that suggested that there was a Secretary of State's report on this, or report filed with the Secretary of State. I looked it up. For both under Juul, which is a major donor and has to, so if you spend over $10,000 in an election cycle, you're a major donor, and so you have quarterly reporting requirements. So the last quarter ended on March 31st. Nothing to the California Democratic Party. It's an interesting list of who is on there, and I've talked about this before in my writing, but there's nothing on the California Democratic Party's report. So I don't know, was it a sponsorship on credit? I gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting. And, you know, we know Altria is the parent of Philip Morris, and they bought 35% of Juul last year. And then we had an interesting thing going on today in San Francisco. Well, it's always interesting things going on in San Francisco. And they, a committee of the Board of Supervisors approved a ban on non-FDA approved e-cigarettes, vaping devices, and flavored tobacco. That would hit Juul. And Juul's headquarters is on city land in Mission Bay.
this menthol fight, this like flavored cigarette fight's been going on forever. And I can't understand it. Like, who gives a shit? Like, I don't know. Either ban all smoking or leave menthol alone.
Yeah.
Like, leave the brothers alone, man. Like, leave the brothers alone. You know? So there's like a predominantly African-American affinity for menthol.
Yeah.
Let them smoke what they want. Could you imagine if they tried to, like, ban mayonnaise? You know, white people would be so upset. Right. Just leave it alone. Whatever. People are going to smoke this. Who gives a shit? Honestly, if you choose to end your life with cigarettes.
They say that kids like menthol.
Stupid kids like menthol.
Yeah,
stupid fucking kids like menthol. You know what? I never smoked a fucking menthol cigarette.
It was clove cigarettes when I went to high school.
Whatever.
I didn't smoke, but.
You know, I don't know.
I found this. I don't give a shit. A tweet from Doug Sovereign, who's the political reporter for KCBS, was that, quote, the first public comment on the Juul vaping ban proposal package, quote, some of them been exploding in people's pockets and people running down the streets with their pants on fire because of these goddamn e-cigarettes. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
That's funny.
I mean, yeah. Somebody would have gotten that shit on video.
That's crazy.
And that would be all over YouTube.
You know, yeah, I don't know. You know, you think kids don't know the health consequences of smoking? They know. Kids, that's another thing. We should just eliminate the age limits for smoking.
But they also know the health risks of driving too fast, of, you know, all kinds of things.
Driving too fast is a problem because it can hurt other people.
Yeah.
If you're gonna smoke for yourself in the park or something, I don't give a shit. You could be a 9-year-old. I don't care. Judge finds Sacramento sheriff violated public record. We gotta wrap here. We're at an hour 15 here. We gotta wrap pretty soon here. Scott Jones is being a bad boy. He violated the Public Records Act.
And this is after all of the police organizations.
This is a deputy records release thing.
Right. It's the retroactivity of disciplinary records for specific reasons under SB 1421, I want to say.
Whatever the fuck, yeah.
And so initially, a lot of the police organizations came forward and filed a lawsuit to block the retroactive.
What do they have to hide? You know how the police are always like, oh, if you can just talk to us if you don't have anything to hide. What the fuck do they have to hide?
It's a brotherhood, and frankly, a lot of these police would like these bad records of bad cops. They don't like the bad cops. It's like good teachers don't like bad teachers. But there's this brotherhood.
I feel like we're going to find out that there's a lot more bad cops than we fucking realized.
I mean, the stories like, holy shit, come out so far.
Holy shit, there's that many bad cops.
So he held out.
You know what's funny? It's like when you talk to a lot of cops, when we talk to a lot of cops, they're like, yeah, you know, I grew up in a rough neighborhood and it was either be a gang member or a cop. So I chose cop. But it's just another gang, really. It's just like, I don't trust cops. It's not that I don't trust cops. I don't trust cops when they do shit like this.
Yeah.
I think we're going to find out that there's a lot more bad cops than we realized.
Yeah, and so
they need accountability.
So the Los Angeles Times and Sacramento Bee sued.
The fact that they fight oversight makes me think they're shady.
He wouldn't back down, as opposed to cops everywhere else who back down. The First Amendment Coalition.
He's a strong person. Hey, Scott Jones, come on the podcast. He's a strong person. Did you know he's the number one issuer of concealed carry permits in the country?
I remember hearing something about that.
Yeah, the people coming, it's like, oh yeah, I got my concealed carry from Sacramento.
Right, and he ran against Ami Bera, Democratic Congressman Ami Bera in the last election. Dude,
everyone in town is packing, man. I had a buddy over here. Everyone in town's because he's so generous with the
concealed. Packing joint?
Packing heat.
Packing pipes?
No. I had a buddy come over for the jiu-jitsu podcast. And then afterwards, we all went out to drinks. And after he had his first beer, he's like, I got to go to the car real quick. And he and we're like, dude, what's going on? He's like, that was all of a sudden. He's like, oh, yeah, I just realized I had to put away like my, because he had like a gun strapped to his ankle. He's like, I should probably put that one away since I'm going to start drinking.
Oh, my God.
But it's like everyone's just like casually carrying a gun in Sacramento.
Yeah. The horse deaths at Santa Anita, we have one more this week. I did an outline of this issue today about why Democrats are having a hard time raising this issue. Remember, Democrats just voted overwhelmingly, and some Republicans, to ban circus animals other than domesticated dogs, cats, and horses.
Democrats have been voting overwhelmingly for all things that virtue signal animal rights. But now when something's actually happening...
And it's because Santa Anita has a long tradition of being a heavily organized, union-organized racetrack.
Yeah.
You're talking about hospitality workers, security guards, the laborers that actually work in the stalls, and the paramutual. I've been doing a lot of research on this. The paramutual people that give you your ticket people. To lose.
Oh. Haley's batting 100 with those.
Well,
she just picks based on the name, and she's always like, "Oh, $400."
They're supposed to pick the color of the what do they call those? The there's some horse name for the color of
like the vest or whatever. Like
yeah, there's some.
The silks. we were driving down to San Diego to see my family, and we stopped at the Orange County Tavern off the 5 in Orange County, of course.
Yeah,
and we're like, "Oh, let's get a burger and a beer here. We need to just chill out for a minute before we keep driving down to San Diego." And she's like, "Yeah, let's do that." And so we wind up at this like Orange County Tavern, and it turns out that's like an off-track horse betting location somehow too. And let me tell you, man, there was these old Social Security aged guys just betting their last dollar in there, man. It was not a positive scene. But we got a little booklet, and then we started talking to some old guys, you know, bought them a beer. It's like, hey, tell us how this works. They're like, oh, well, this is race 1120. Right. Race 1121 is going to come up in a minute. You can bet on that one when you go to the window. And so we, like, look up the book for race 1121. And she's like, oh, you know, I think, like, she bet, like, on Taco Tuesday or something like that. And she won, like, $200.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I bet on, like, King Me Now or something like that, and that didn't work out.
Yeah, I'm not against gambling, but I know that no dice were ever euthanized after a bad roll. You know, could you imagine, like, oh, it was a bad roll. Let's crush these mothers.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting to watch. There's no legislative movement on this issue at all that I can discern.
Because Santa Anita's protecting itself by having union workers.
Mm-hmm.
That's like extremely fucked
and,
up.
And there's a big economic element in the Arcadia area. Because it's union workers, but there are also jobs and other factors.
How many horses have to die before the legislature gets involved?
I don't know. They're racing all weekend. And
are they really? There's no pause to the
action. No.
Just keep them going?
They had 8 races today, and I think a similar number tomorrow.
What the fuck is going on over there?
Well, there's several factors, and they were largely identified in the very industry-focused hearing about how we're different from Europe. In Europe, they race on grass more often. They have a shorter season, and they usually only race during the day. We do day and night.
Well, they also test for steroids.
And we ours tests for steroids too. No, but they're 30 like, allowable ours is
like
drugs.
Ours is like an announced test. It's an IQ test. It's like, hey, we're going to test you for steroids on this day.
All horses, but no, all horses after every race.
Horses here are juiced up. The horses in Europe are not juiced up. Just go look at the size of the horse in
Europe. Lasix is, yeah. And a horse friend of mine who used to work in
a horse building, friend of yours?
A horse friend. I went to undergrad in law school with her. Anyway, but she was saying there's a different breed in Europe, but there was definitely
not juiced up.
A different way. And this debate over Lasix, which officially they say that Lasix is used to avoid bleeding in the lungs of the horse. But it also, Lasix is a, what the fuck you call it? Makes you diuretic. So it's a diuretic, and they think that that may have something to do with it. But, you know, the official thing, or not official, but the most widely agreed upon thing from the May 22nd hearing was we had too much rain. Well, it's June, and a horse just died. Yeah. So, I mean, you can only carry that out so far. There are definitely other issues. Dianne Feinstein, senator, has called for a moratorium, but it's like crickets in the Capitol right now on this issue.
It's like, oh, yeah.
Dianne Feinstein doesn't give a fuck about union donations.
Frankly. Nah, she's too old to give a shit. Yeah.
She's rich, and
she's on her way
probably
out.
In her last term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny. It's so funny because like when it comes to like the bobcat hunting, or can you use your dogs to hunt a bear? Like all the virtue signaling is so disgusting. How hypocritical these motherfuckers are.
PETA's pushing.
Is that why Jennifer Fearing's probably staying like more quiet on this too? She doesn't want to like lean on her buddies.
I don't.
Doesn't
want to
create problems for her buddies.
I don't think she. Just not has a client. I mean, she has clients now.
But she's the lady that cares about all animals in the Capitol, right?
No, and sharks and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
we'll never forget Sutter Brown walking around in a shark suit.
Yeah,
that Jennifer and Bill Wong, I think.
So if you want, to run an extremely shady scene, staff up with the union people to be immune from accountability.
Right.
Crazy. fucking crazy.
Yeah. Meanwhile, PETA's trying to get the dolphins released out of SeaWorld. And orcas moved out of, you know, put in an offshore sanctuary. Or actually, they're trying to get the orcas into an offshore sanctuary, and the dolphins, they want just to swim around and bark like Flipper. There's no carnival acts. That's their official position, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. The Sacramento restaurant scene. Hey, we should do some food reviews.
Yeah, we should do food reviews, and we've got some good interviews. So we did a Michelin restaurant guide that came out this week. First time Sacramento's been included. Only one restaurant got on it. That was The Kitchen. There were several that were named.
Fuck, does this mean I can't get a reservation to The Kitchen anymore?
It's impossible. They only do 3 months in advance. I checked the other night. And
you have to put it down like a $300 deposit?
Something like that. I think it's $160 for the prefix. Now, that's not wine. So gotcha. You easily could be at $300.
Yeah.
But it's a wonderful experience.
Have you been?
Definitely. Yeah, I've been.
I've not been.
It's not great. Been. And it's expensive.
That's the Sellins family?
Yeah, Sellins. And so it's more expensive to go see Hamilton, let alone Hamilton and dinner. And that's what you have to look at The Kitchen as. It's dinner and a show.
What, they do a show?
It's the
Can I cook in front of you?
They everything's done in front of you. They speak about ingredients, where things come from. They take an intermission where you wander to various stations. The weather's nice. It's outside, and they've got a big bonfire. They have a sushi station. And
whenever they have those guys come and talk to me about what's in the food, I'm like, shut the fuck up. Let me eat. Just, I get so mad.
Any course that you liked, you can just say, can I have another serving of it?
Oh, really?
Like, unlimited, yeah.
Oh, cool.
So it's a real cool place. And it's in this, a lot of people don't know, including a lot of legislators, don't know Sacramento as much, you know, but it's out on Hurley Way.
Yeah.
You're not talking about, like, you know, East Sacramento, Fab 40s.
No.
Or, you know, the big foodie spots. It's kind of a rough neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, it's in Fair Oaks, isn't it?
It's on the way to Fair Oaks. Maybe more Arden Arcade.
That whole area of town is weird because like, you get some really rough pockets, and then you're like, oh, this is because it's by the Massage Envy. It's by the massage. It's around that area, I think, which is like that little.
I don't know the massage envy.
My wife, Haley, has a membership.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know it's not a red light district.
You know what's funny? We got massages at Zion. Mm-hmm. They have like a little cable lodge. They have a lodge there.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, do you want the 60-minute or the 90-minute massage? Yeah, you're sharing pictures of that
shit with us.
Yeah. So, do you want the 60-minute massage or the 90-minute massage?
I'm camping.
Yeah.
Like, every other picture was at a spa or a massage table. 90-minute massage. I was like,
that's a long time. That's a long time for someone to be touching your butt.
My only concern is having to pee. You know? But 60 minutes goes by too fast because it's really like 50 minutes.
Yeah, you know. I got it. That's what she said, but I was like, I don't want someone touching me for 90 minutes. Like, only you, baby. I've been in town, I've never been to Esquire.
It's a Perigary restaurant. Well, and I don't know if the remodel, the convention center, and the auditorium, what they call the community center, if that affected them, if that was like a final straw, because that whole area is like closed off right now around the community center. And that used to be like an ideal spot to go to dinner, before a show at community center. So that's where they do the Broadway series and a lot of them, Yo-Yo Ma and all these things. So it used to be a go-to place, but that was before Ella opened up.
If I'm going to drop cash in that part of town, I'm dropping it at Ella.
Yeah.
Shit, which is where I should be right now, actually.
Yeah. another Sullins restaurant. Now, I mean, Perigary's doing fine with Cafe Bernardo and the old Perigary's and Blue Q and Centro. So, I mean, it's not like the
There's really an illusion of choice thing going on in town because there's really like four families that own all the, you know, there's like the DeVere's. My buddy Garrett, who's one of my jiu-jitsu guys, is an owner in Shady Lady and The Snug and B-Side.
Yeah.
And I think he was a partner at Amaro and a partner in Bottle and Barlow. Mm-hmm. But it's like, well, not really illusion of choice, but it's like it all kind of feeds up to like four or five families.
I'm excited because the Crew is opening up a new place at the end of K-Street.
Billy Noh, you want to know something? Billy Noh is also another jiu-jitsu guy. Gil Duran. Editorial B, another jiu-jitsu guy.
Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu is fantastic, phenomenal networking. Why? Because you make actual connections with people when you simulate their murder. The Shake Shack.
This is the big showdown.
Who gives a fuck about the Shake Shack? Is In-N-Out
better than Shake Shack?
I've never heard of Shake Shack.
It's from, I believe, New York originally.
Oh, really?
And they don't have much on the West Coast.
But they want to charge $12 for a burger?
Yeah, they look good though.
Really?
And they've got nice crinkly fries. I've never been there. I've seen pictures and people sing praises about it. And there aren't that many good burger spots.
You know what the new place opened
downtown?
Up? Downtown.
The one next to the theater.
Burger Patch. It's like all vegetarian burgers. Have you tried that? Patch?
No, I haven't.
We gotta do a food review.
We do, yeah.
We should do like takeout food. Review.
Yeah, and sit here and show people how
people
disgusting.
Can hear us eat. Like, oh my goodness!
Well, what a week, my
friend.
What
a week, man! What a week.
And next week's going to be even crazier because we had the budget.
Yeah, and who do we have coming on next week? We have two people coming on.
No, next week we have Steve Hansen, and then is that right? Yeah, next week is Steve Hansen, and the week after is James Gallagher and District Attorney Anne-Marie Schubert.
Tweet us your questions for
we're
going to
have
guests.
Some, yeah. And Fendi sports bras, riding down Rodeo in my Maserati sports car.